The following program is part of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is former WWE superstar and ECW general manager, Armando Alejandro Estrada.
You are tuned in to the one that innovated it all.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god!
The evolution of online sports entertainment is back.
The boss is back!
WrestleTalk Radio is back on the air. Join us as we follow all the news and views from the WWE, TNA, and the indie circuit. With Spud.
I like your poetry.
I like what you do to babies.
And the Omega Man.
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want. I call the shots.
And now, get ready for WTR.
Politically incorrect.
I'm damn proud of
it. And you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Live.
Welcome to WTR Sunday Night. I'm this bug guy. That is Nick and Omega, and we are going to be joined shortly by someone very special.
So how have you boys been all this week?
You know...
That good, huh?
Well, you just told... I just gave you the plug, and you totally went, never mind, and went the other direction. We're going to be joined in a couple of minutes by someone very special, someone who has spent time in both ECW, the international wrestling community, WWE, and made a brief appearance in TNA. None other than the Snowman, Al Snow.
So are we waiting for my opening bit? Well, 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 it is I, the man, with his finger of his button and a can of Dick and Cider. Well, a Dick and Cider can, at least.
You fail.
The original social terrorist, Nick. That was an original this week. It was actually a dare for a case of Dick and Cider, but that's a different story. Our attempt at getting sponsors, ladies and gentlemen.
Mental note: rehearsals. All right.
So, Spug, you wanted to talk about the new game coming out this week.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that later. We're going to talk about the new WrestleMania, Legends of WrestleMania that's coming out, and we're going to get into that and the cast of characters that are in it, because I was looking at that today, and I'm like, I really want to give that a shot. Plus, we're going to get into the finalization of the card.
Not quite final.
It's getting to the final stages of the card, because you got literally 2 weeks left until Mania. You've got two more slots for the induction ceremony, or for the Hall of Fame induction. So I'm looking forward.
Yeah, looking forward to see.
I'm looking forward to see the last two who are going to be making it in this year. My fingers are crossed for Ravishing Recruit, Macho Man Randy Savage, but I doubt that is going to happen.
No, they usually say the last inductees are. Lately, they have been people outside of WWE, usually someone from the AWA period or even NWA at some times. So I wouldn't be surprised to see another one of those really old names that's more known for AWA and independent circuits to come up.
Right.
Well, boys, if we've got a few minutes, why don't we cover the few minutes of things that actually happened in TNA? Yes, we all know the groans of Spug.
We don't want people tuning out before the guest's on.
Really?
If you guys actually gave it a try, you'd actually find it's a very interesting product.
We did give it a try. I did give it a try. I don't like it. Don't like it, don't care for it.
Yeah, bungee jumping is interesting on a first try, too. Until the cable snaps.
I've done that, too, by the way.
Nice.
No, cable snapped on me for TNA a long time ago.
Yeah, no, I've gone bungee jumping. No, I've tried the bungee jumping. I gave TNA a try, and then when they let Vince Russo start doing the booking, and it became the last few years of WCW, I don't care anymore. Because they had a good product when they were showcasing guys like Daniels and Joe and Styles and the people that put that company on their back and made it what it was and got them to that TV deal. And now that they're ignoring them, and as I told you before, Nick, when I told you off the air when we were talking, you can have a great women's division, you can have a great tag team division, but people don't pay to see those things. The majority of fans pay to see a heavyweight division and the middleweights, you know, your mid-carders. and if you have a shit division and both of those, why are people going to show up to the shows?
But here's the thing, I think that TNA actually has a strong future with the WWE pushing towards that G and PG demographic and TNA still being for that male 18 to 35 demographic that they still are plugging for.
WWE went for the PG rating in the 80s and they got insanely popular. They were insanely popular.
And I think if something that's slightly more obscure has the opportunity to grow.
The problem with TNA is, again, the booking. The booking. You continue, it's, if you continue to bring it, it's like WCW. If you continually bring in WWE washouts and has-beens instead of building up your own talent, what are people going to pay to see?
This is a good idea, considering TNA just brought in Al Snow for an appearance.
I'm not talking about Al Snow. I'm not. I know
what you get. They're not building up the homegrown talent like they're supposed to.
They're not. But I mean, that's how WWE has been successful all these years.
So I will mention that two of the three guys you named have championship belts right now, and the third guy is getting a huge push at the moment.
Okay, hold on a second. Do we actually count the Legends belt as a belt?
Well, it's actually been won in a match by somebody at this point. So at least this time it was earned.
Though sure.
I still hate that freaking name, a Legends belt. Doesn't make a damn bit of sense.
In my mind, if you want to be claiming that you're a legend, you have to be in this business for at least 30 years. That's
no.
An awful lot of blood you need to spill.
I don't think so. I don't think there needs to be a set time limit on it.
I just have an issue with a name just because it's supposed to be more of a mid-card belt, but it doesn't sound like that. It literally does sound like a belt you reserve for, the older guard, you know, the legends.
Right.
The ones you would actually call legends.
Right, but I don't think you need to put a time limit on being considered or being called a legend.
No, not at all.
Oh, no, I pulled that number out of my ass.
I know, dude, but what I'm just saying, I don't think that there should be a time limit on it, because there are people who are in this business, you know, for a few years, and the things that they did, you know, made them legends without ever stepping foot in the WWE or TNA or any places in the Americas. I mean, you look at guys that were in Mexico and in Japan and places like that. You know, they're huge superstars and well revered, and so they could be considered legends. You know, I think that this, we have to have a time limit on it, and they can only be known in the Americas, is something stupid.
Oh, look, TNA are known for doing stupid things. I mean, seriously, we're coming up to lockdown. A pay-per-view, entirely nothing but cage matches.
Which is a novel concept. I like the idea.
Yeah, but there are too many gimmicks. This is with the product.
Now, lockdown's a special occasion. I don't think that's overly gimmicky. They did have a lockdown a few years ago where every match also had another gimmick within it, which I think was insanely overkill.
Right.
But this is generally, again.
No, generally for lockdown, they keep it to a subtle few, and then we have a lethal lockdown at the end of the night.
Well, you look at TNA. I mean, you look at WWE. They have a pay-per-view that's like Lockdown every year. No Way Out. There's two Elimination Chamber matches in the same pay-per-view.
Which I still don't agree with that.
So, I mean,
I'd be fine with it. I just don't like it taking place between Mania and the Rumble.
Right. No, I get you. I get you. But we will talk about TNA in a few minutes, Nick. But when we come back, we're going to be joined by our special guest right here at WTR, Snowman. The Snowman cometh right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You gotta take a stand and don't have to hide. If you hurt my friends, then you hurt my pride. I gotta be a man, I can't let it slide. I am a real American, fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American, fight for what's right, fight for your life.
Soldiers, I want to remind you to check out Across the Field.
What is that? What the fuck is that?
Every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on WildTalkRadio.com. As Spunk.
What's your name, scumbag?
And Deal.
That name sounds like royalty. Are you royalty?
Go across the field covering the world of professional sports and providing their unique spin on everything going on.
Are you about to call me an asshole?
So, ATF soldiers, remember, every Thursday night, we'll head to the battleground and go across the field. 6 p.m. Eastern on Wild Talk Radio.
I'll be watching you.
That is.
The night where boyhood dreams come true.
Wait a minute. Michael said he got it. He got all of it. Michael's got all of it. Michael's got it covered.
The boyhood dream has come true for Shawn Michaels.
The night where new eras are born.
Michaels going for another kick. Austin, he got it! Chris Steiner! Mike Tyson in! Austin is the champion! Stone Cold! Stone Cold! Stone Cold!
The night where the torches are passed.
He's hooking up just what he is. The greatest professional athlete in the world today. Look at this. He's
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Oh, dropping a big leg. Over for the cover.
It's over. Unbelievable.
What will happen this year at WrestleMania? Find out the night before the granddaddy of them all on Wrestle Talk Radio on Saturday night, April 4th, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com.
Yeah.
Sunday nights, Wild Talk Radio takes the front seat in the screening room. Hi, I'm Greg, and along with my co-host Max, we'll be taking a critical look at everything in the entertainment media. Movies, TV shows, video games. We'll cover it all. So come join us every Sunday night at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. And don't miss out on the screening room on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Just when you thought it was safe to check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, you better think again.
Hey guys, this is Scott Hudson. I've been in WCW, WWE, and TNA, but no time is like the time I spend on Wild Talk Radio.
What does everybody want? What does everybody need? What does everybody want?
And welcome back. If you don't know that music, you should be ashamed of yourselves. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio, and we are joined right now by former ECW wrestler, international wrestler, WWE / WWF wrestler, trainer on Tough Enough, owner and trainer of the Al Snow Wrestling School. I actually forget the name, so you'll have to forgive me. And currently made an appearance in TNA, Mr. Al Snow. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing absolutely fantastic. How are you guys?
We're fantastic as well. And I am joined by Nick and Omega. And so why don't we start this off by a little obscure note, kind of go to your mid-WWE career, because I've been wondering this for a very long time. You had the match with Big Boss Man, the Kennel and Hell match. Whatever happened to Little Pepper?
Well, Pepper was near my heart till I had a bowel movement, and then I passed my turn.
How did Pepper taste, by the way?
A little stringy and just a hair salty.
Oh. You've been involved in some of the most bizarre storylines throughout your career, from wrestling the head to wrestling yourself there's numerous accounts about you in Mick Foley's books. How do you come up with this stuff?
Well, I think that, you know, once I had developed a persona or a character or a gimmick, a personality that really people could believe that I was insane, I think it gave me a sort of freedom, a freedom that a lot of other necessarily characters didn't have. You know, I was free to do what seemed to be at the time something completely ridiculous, but then could be made into an angle or a storyline that could, entertain the audience.
Now, we're coming up on WrestleMania, and I was looking back at your history at the event, which not nearly enough moments for you. You were famous for bringing a guy dressed in a block of cheese down to the ring to smack his own ass. Now, when you come up with ideas like this, are you thinking, well, this is going to be my big Mania moment? This is what I'll be remembered for?
No, not necessarily. And that wasn't necessarily my idea. That was one of the writer's idea, and I agreed to go along with it. But it was certainly not a moment that I thought was going to be something that I would be remembered for. And I think that there are plenty of other things that I've been remembered for, other than just bringing a a Mexican midget in a block of cheese smacking his own ass for. So I hope, God, if not, shoot me now.
Now, speaking of writers, we've seen the wrestling business evolve over the years from promos being cut off the top of the head to bullet points to now fully scripted promos and events. Do you feel that would you like to see the wrestling business go back to the way it used to be? Or do you think that now that this has happened, it's going to be this way forever?
I believe that the wrestling business has been and should always be the wrestler's business. It's the wrestler's responsibility for the wrestler to make that connection with the audience, make that emotional reaction out of the audience, tell the story, whether it be verbal or physical, in the ring, and since it's their responsibility, the wrestler is probably the one and only one that's going to have that true feeling, that gut instinct of what to do or what to say at the right time to get it across, the best way to motivate an audience to pay to see them. And there's nothing against writers. I think that writers serve a purpose. I think they're there to help the creative process and to throw out ideas and suggestions, but ultimately at the end of the day, it still comes down to the wrestler. And I think that the business has flipped. It's become more about the writers and less about the wrestlers, and I think it definitely needs to flip back.
Okay. This is Nick, by the way. I was just wondering,
yeah, good day,
you
mate.
Were recently involved in some TNA in TNA stuff, and I was wondering, with your involvement in the Main Event Mafia storyline, what you thought of that?
Well, I was very happy to have the opportunity to go to TNA and chance to go out and do the pay-per-view, and I was glad to be there. I mean, it's a great organization. They have a great opportunity to step up and really be a major competitor with WWE. And, at some point, I would love to, be a part of that if I could ever possibly be. Who knows? But it was really, I was flattered and happy to have been there.
Now, and I know nothing can compare to this, and so this is a bad analogy to begin with, and I apologize for it, but could you see TNA, if they started pushing their homegrown talent more than they are, kind of capturing that niche that ECW did back in the mid-90s and becoming the... So to not flash in the pan, so to speak, but the competitor and the thorn in the side of WWE that ECW was for such a long time?
Well, first off, I don't think that ECW was ever actually a thorn in WWE's side. Paulie and Vince worked very closely hand-to-hand together and almost to a degree without anyone knowing it. ECW kind of became a proving ground or a developmental program for WWE. That's where, Vince got a lot of his talent. And Paulie willfully went along with it. To my knowledge, I would say also that, I don't think that TNA wants to be, the next ECW. ECW was fantastic. It was great. But the problem is that it was a niche. It was a niche audience. And, wrestling is a business. It's about making money, and you want to make as much money as you could possibly make. And the way you do that is you appeal to the largest segment of that audience. WWE is really mastered the art of that, appealing to Mr. and Mrs. Walmart, not appealing to just a small niche market. And, that would help TNA maybe survive or weather a storm. In order for them to truly be a competitor, they're going to have to grow, and they're going to have to expand and bring in new audience members as much as possible. I think that by building their own stars, you know, to your original question, building their own stars with their local talent, and trying different things, not just doing the same approach, I think they have a chance of creating, you know, a new audience. And, you know, think back, guys, back when wrestling was at its heyday in the 90s, Raw would get a 7, like a 6 rating was not unusual, and, you know, WCW would get a 4. That was a total of 10 million people watching wrestling on a Monday night. And now TNA is lucky to get a 1, and Raw's lucky to get a 3. So that's not 4 million people. What happened to the other 6 million people? There's 6 million people that were wrestling fans that could, if at the very least, be brought back and could be turned to TNA that could help to boost that company tremendously. And, and I do agree with you. I think that by really building their own stars and focusing on new talent, that they have a good opportunity to do that. Does that answer your question?
It does. And I know it was a bad analogy and a bad point, and I was trying as hard as I could to make it. So I do apologize there.
Because
I was a gigantic ECW fan in the 90s. I can remember we had a little television station out of Canton called The Cat, and they would show ECW every Friday at 11 p.m., and I was right there in front of my television till midnight watching it. So.
Well, you know, ECW was fantastic. It really was a great time. But it was the right thing at the right time. And the one thing that a lot of the average fans don't realize or remember is that, Paulie was very fortunate in the idea that he had a ton of talent that he got to utilize that had a lot of experience in the business that just didn't have a lot of exposure until they arrived in ECW. And that gave, you know, Paulie a great platform to work with. And then what started happening is all that talent started, you know, getting that exposure and then, of course, getting other opportunities and then leaving ECW and then it left Paulie with, you know, a depleted talent pool. And I don't know if the talent pool is, at this point right now, in the same place. Do you know what I mean? And I don't mean that in a derogatory fashion because I think that right now, more than ever, there's more physical and athletic talent in the wrestling business than there ever has been. But just physical and athletic talent is not what draws money. It's that it thing, you know, that... you know, that only comes with experience, the business is going through that transition right now of trying to get enough talent to have enough experience to now, be able to operate with. And, you know, I just don't think I think that the wrestling business, like every other business, is big enough that the idea that there can only be WWE and TNA is ridiculous. I think that there's plenty of room for, you know, a lower level organization to operate. You know, Ring of Honor's proven that, you know, that's a possibility, but there should be even more than just Ring of Honor. There should be five or six more companies that are operating to some degree, to where guys can make a living, maybe not a great living, but a living, in the United States. You know, unfortunately, they're just not approaching it that way.
Well, you brought up a point, and I kind of wanted to ask you about this. And you had said that, you know, sheer talent and athleticism, you know, aren't just going to cut it. How do you feel about the younger crop of stars within the indie circuit now on, you know, even on a national stage? It seems like the art of crowd and ring psychology has been lost. You know, you have some of the greats like Ric Flair and Jake the Snake and Ravishing Rude and Mr. Perfect who had that factor, and even Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock who could manipulate the crowd and manipulate the match and get everybody into it, love them or hate them. And now it seems to be few and far between who can do that. Is that something that can be taught, or is it just as natural they have it or they don't?
No, it's not a natural thing because it's a skill. and it's an understanding. Unfortunately, in this day and age, the talent, especially the younger talent, are so focused on having the best match on the show that they've lost sight of what it is that their real purpose is there to be, is to be there for. And that is to not have the best match on the show, is to have the show, the match that sells the most tickets. Now, for example, you mentioned Jake the Snake, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Ric Flair. But you left one name out, the most important name of all. And that was Hulk Hogan.
I never really thought of Hogan as a ring psychologist.
And that's why you're so wrong. Because walk down the street anywhere in the world to this day and ask anybody, do you know Ric Flair? Do you know Hulk Hogan? Who do you think they know?
More so Hulk Hogan.
And why is that?
I would say because of the persona and because of what he was in the 80s and 90s and the way he could
Which
get the crowd into it.
He knew how to work. He knew how to work. He was a ring psychologist.
He did, and you know what? Now that you put it that way, I get it. I get it.
So let me ask you another question, because this is where the business really changed, okay?
Okay.
And did you guys see WrestleMania 3?
I have seen it, and I have it on video cassette.
Okay. Now, who had the best match on WrestleMania 3?
If you go by my opinion, it was Steamboat Savage for the Intercontinental title.
Exactly. And unfortunately, everybody now within the wrestling business go by your opinion. And that's what's wrong with the wrestling business. Your opinion was that Steamboat and Savage had the best match. When I broke into the wrestling business, and hey, I made the same mistake, so I know what I'm talking about. I went by your opinion too, and that was unfortunate, because who had the best match on the show was Hogan and Andre. Hogan and Andre had the best match on the show because 93,000 people paid to see Hogan and Andre. 93,000 people did not pay to see Savage and Steamboat. Did Savage and Steamboat have a great match? Yes, they did. Did they have the best match on the show? No, they did not, because it was not the match that drew 93,000 people.
Well, and the Hogan, I mean, the Hogan-Andre match was a passing of the torch, too, and that's what makes it an even
greater
match.
It doesn't matter about the passing of the torch. Every night that a talent walks out to the ring, no matter the town, no matter the building, no matter the promotion, his job is to go out there and have the match that draws the most people. Not the match that gets the most accolades about it being the best match, because that doesn't feed the bear. Because if you have, let me give it to you this way, you have the greatest match ever in the history of wrestling. It's in a building that holds 10,000 people, but unfortunately only 1,200 showed up to see it. Now, we're going to run that same building next month. We still have a potential audience of 10,000 people, but instead of getting 1,200 this next month, we got 400. How great was your match?
Apparently it wasn't that great at all if you lost fans.
But according to your opinion, and Mix, and Omega's, and every other fan who makes critiques, which is what all of the talent are now concerned about, those guys are now saying, hey, I still had the best match. I had the greatest match in the history of wrestling. But you're not drawing money. And without being able to draw money, the promoter can't run the shows. The promoter can't run the shows. You have no place to work. And if you have no place to work, you now have to have a regular job and only wrestle on the weekends instead of being able to do this for a living. Does that make sense?
Fair enough. It's a fair enough point. Absolutely.
And that's why right now, in spite of the fact that there's more amazing, incredible physical talented ability in this wrestling business than there ever has been, ever in the history of wrestling, now the business is more on its ass than it's ever been. And I'm not talking about WWE. WWE is in a class by itself. I'm talking about the fact that there are fewer and fewer places for a wrestler to go and wrestle for a living. And the reason why is because there are more and more wrestlers who are more and more concerned about just their performance and having that great formulatic match that then they get reported on and get patted on the back, instead of judging their performance on how great it was in regards to how many people showed up to see it.
That is a fair enough point, and I've never had anybody really put it that way. And it's going to sound hokey, but you can know that I'm being sincere and honest about it, that your wisdom on that was very much appreciated.
It's, you know, look, it's you know, that you asked about my Mayor Mc, you know, the cheesy McCheesington, the you know, the Mexican with midget with the you know, block of cheese and spanking his ass. That was a mistake that I made, because I was focused on having an entertaining match. I was focused on having a match that, you know, was great, instead of focusing on a match that could have elevated me to being the guy that now sold out WrestleMania next year.
I believe Omega has a question for you, sir.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, and sometime you're going to have to tell me how to change Spug's mind like that, because I've been trying for years and it doesn't work for me. Now, with those opinions that you've just expressed, there's rumors right now that WWE wants to do a new reality show, and one idea burst already, and the other one is to bring back Tough Enough. Now, you being the big star of that show, would you like to see it come back with the business the way it is right now?
Well, certainly. I would love for it to come back, even if I'm not involved in it. I think it was a great show for the wrestling business as a whole. It was a way to allow the wrestling business to create new stars, scout for new talent, and to build a new audience, to draw in people who maybe don't watch wrestling to now watch that show, get involved with and care about the characters and personalities, and then follow those people from Tough Enough over into wrestling, and now have even more audience members for wrestling. I thought it was a great infomercial for wrestling. It helped build appreciation and respect for wrestling, showed the sacrifice and the hard work that wrestlers have to go through. And, you know, I would love to see it come back. You know, if that formula, which was a complete ripoff of Tough Enough, the Ultimate Fighter, it's the main thing, the crux of why UFC is now enjoying the success that it has, is because of the fact that they put Ultimate Fighter on TNA, on Spike, which at that time Spike had addressed into WWE and wanted to do you know, the reality show Tough Enough, and they couldn't come to an agreement, and that was what allowed the UFC to do a ripoff of Tough Enough and open the door to all the success they're now enjoying. So, of course, I'd love to see it come back.
Now, I was going to ask you about another ripoff of Tough Enough that came up. What do you think of Hogan's Celebrity Championship Wrestling?
I think it was horrible. I think it was, you know, I'm happy for them. They got to, but I think it was horrible, and I think it disrespected the business because, you know, there's always been a saying in the wrestling business that anybody can put on a pair of trunks and a pair of boots and call themselves a professional wrestler, but not everybody can be a worker. That's like, anybody could be a painter, but not everybody could be an artist. Do you understand? And
right.
That wasn't more evident than when you now take a bunch of, you know, celebrities and you go, hey, we're going to teach you how to wrestle. And then they go out there and they wrestle matches just like the guys you see in wrestling. So now you're telling everybody in the wrestling audience that, hey, what these guys do, it's nothing special. It's no big deal because, look, anybody can do it. This middle-aged housewife can now do it.
Ow.
Right. Now, I think it says a lot that the ratings for that show were horrible despite what we just discussed with Hulk Hogan. And
they were horrendous, and the reason they were horrendous was because of the fact that the audience... Guys, here's a little information for you. What do you think... The only thing fake about wrestling is that the finish is predetermined, okay? You know, when people as a whole realized that was back in the 1930s. That was when newspapers stopped reporting on wrestling events as if they were actually sporting events. Back in the 1930s. So if everybody knew since the 1930s that wrestling was fake, why do you think they continued to pay tons of money to show up throughout the from the 30s to the 40s to the 50s to the 60s to the 70s to the 80s to the 90s to now? It's because they don't want, they want to pay their money to believe. They want to believe that the wrestling is real, meaning that the outcome is not predetermined. And they don't want to be insulted by going, hey, what you think is exciting and amazing, it's just so simple that just, you know, this middle-aged housewife can do it now. And so they refuse to watch it.
Well, now, I have a limited amount of experience in the ring. I was training with a guy named Jimmy Lee, who worked for WWF for a while as a quote-unquote jobber and worked around the country until I broke my tailbone and decided, you know what, this is probably not the best for me, and just went back to, you know, talking on a microphone about it. But, and so I understand what you're saying, but do you think that with the WWE, the way that they pulled the wool from people's eyes again in the 90s and revealing the kayfabe once again, do you think that hurt the wrestling industry more or helped?
I don't think it hurt at all. It only helps. Because let's, you know, it's not been kayfabe since the 30s, guys. Everybody's known it. It's just like, do you guys really believe that David Copperfield makes the Statue of Liberty disappear?
I would like to think so.
And do you think that Chris Angel really levitates on his own? But why does Chris Angel have his own TV show and is able to sell out in Las Vegas every single night? Why is David Copperfield able to have a 2-hour CBS special? Maybe it's because they can do what they do so well that while you're watching it, you don't care if they really are making the Statue of Liberty disappear or if they really are levitating. All you care about is the fact that you can sit there and enjoy it and be entertained. It's the same with Spider-Man. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but that wasn't a documentary, and Spider-Man can't really shoot jeans out of his wrist and swing by it and then stick to a wall. But why was Spider-Man able to draw so many millions of dollars? The same with Iron Man and the Hulk and Batman and any other movie that you want to think of that was major success. Raiders of the Lost Ark, Star Wars. Those movies aren't real, but it's during the time that you're in the movie theater, you can forget, get yourself drawn into that world that they're trying to present to you, involve yourself into the story, care about the characters, and then have your emotions manipulated to a point to where you feel like you got something for your money. The same with wrestling. People pay to see wrestling, but not because they believe. They pay because they know what they're paying to see, and they want to see it and enjoy it for what it is. And they want you to do such a good job so that they can make it easy to believe. The only thing that's changed in professional wrestling, once that bell rings, the only thing that's changed from 2008, from 1908, is the level of sophistication of your audience. That's the only thing that's changed. So now, what would have worked in 1908, because the audience was much simpler, now requires the talent to work harder and smarter and more realistically in a way that allows the audience to accept it and go, yeah, this is, you know, have even a question in their mind or at least help them believe it while they're there so that there's a consequence to everything that's going on. And thus, that matters whether or not somebody wins or loses, and there you get the emotional connection.
Al, I have a strange question. I realize it's too early.
Sorry, pretty fancy answer there, so anyway, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you, but relating to you, to what you said earlier about how you do things differently to set yourself up to headline WrestleMania, what does it take in this day and age to headline WrestleMania? Does it mean going in the direction of John Cena, almost being the guy that the internet wrestling community can't stand?
Well, the one thing you have to worry about is first off, you go in your own direction. that's the other thing is that a lot of people are lacking is that they don't have, they don't, they're so worried about making a mistake or worrying about getting criticized that they don't take the risk and just try things that, you know, could very well make them the next guy that's going to headline WrestleMania. The other problem is that they're not worried about the right business. And what I mean by that is in wrestling, every match conducts some type of business. So, for instance, and I always use this as an example of a mistake that a lot of guys made. I made myself. You have a dark match with Funaki. Funaki, a very talented young man. And to a testament to that is how many thousands of wrestlers out there want to work for WWE and how few do. Funaki's not only working for WWE, but he's been working for 10 years for WWE. But how is Funaki booked? He's booked on the bottom of the card and he's booked to put guys over. Well, the reason he's there is because he's good and the guy, and they book you with Funaki because they know if you can't have a good match with Funaki, you're probably not going to have a good match with anybody. One. Two, they want to know if you know how to do the right business when you go out there with Funaki. Now, the mistake that people make is they go out there with Funaki and they think, I'm going to have the best match on the show. And you do. You go out there and you have an amazing match. The internet loves it. And what you've done, though, is you've just put yourself on Funaki's level. And what I mean by that is, let's say, for instance, Triple H goes out there and has a match with Funaki. Will it be a good match? Yeah, probably. It'll still be a good match. But will Triple H still look like a world heavyweight champion? Will Funaki still look like he's at the bottom of the ladder? Absolutely. When you go out there and you work with Funaki, that business of that match is not for you to go out there and have the best match and show everything you can physically do. It's to go out there and show them that you could be a potential heavyweight champion. It's to go out there and show them that you could be a potential star. Not how many moves you can do or how good your match is, but how much of a persona, an essence, a personality that they can see that they can draw money with. And if you go out there and have the best match with Funaki, the best you can hope for is to walk backstage and for them to offer you a developmental contract and to send you to Florida. The worst that can happen is that they go, this kid just doesn't get it, and then send you home. And I made that mistake numerous times. For instance, again, going out there and having a stage, an opportunity like WrestleMania, and trying to have a great tag match and doing something that, you know, for the short term was just slightly entertaining, but for the long term made me maybe more of a comedic figure and never look like a Mega Bay player.
Now, since you are on a internet wrestling show, and it seems that many of the major stars within the wrestling community have had their bouts with guys like myself and Nick and Omega and the bloggers, what is your personal opinion on the internet wrestling community?
I think it's great. I think that it's fantastic that you guys care enough about the wrestling business that and are passionate enough about it that you want to be a part of it, even if it's on the fringes of reporting on it. My problem with it is not with you guys. I firmly believe that if you guys pay your money, you buy a ticket, you're entitled to your opinion of my performance or anybody else's. The thing is, though, I can't allow you to govern the wrestling business because ultimately, at the end of the day, you guys don't have the experience or the true understanding of what it is that really a wrestler's job is all about. That's not a slight against you guys. That's no different than, for example, are any of the three of you doctors? Do you have any medical training?
No, my wife is a pharmacist, though.
Okay. But if you were to, let's say, injure your knee or break your arm or you required surgery, would you go to the hospital and tell the doctor how to do his job?
Absolutely not.
No. But you're entitled to how well he did his job. You can comment. You can have your opinion about his bedside manner, blah, blah, blah. But the doctor's never going to let you tell you, never going to let you, the patient, tell him what he needs to do or how he should do it because he understands from us all his experience and training and education, he understands what it is he's really trying to achieve, even if you don't.
Absolutely.
And then with wrestling, with wrestling, there's the problem. That's the problem. It's not you guys. You're not the problem. The problem is all of the talent that now look to you guys for direction and for worrying about your opinion more than they do about realizing they're the ones who are directing you. They're letting you direct them. That's like having Siskel and Ebert, or amazing, you know, very educated movie critics, direct Hollywood. You know, Hollywood, you know, Siskel and Ebert maybe hated Spider-Man, thought it was a horrible movie. But Hollywood's still going to produce Spider-Man. They're going to produce Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3 because Spider-Man appealed to a mass audience that drew them an amazing amount of money.
Bah! Forget Spider-Man 3. They screwed up Venom.
Oh, no, no, boy.
Yes, and I hated Spider-Man 3 too, but it still drew a bunch of money. So
absolutely.
You know, and that's, you know, that's like Hollywood doing a comic book movie. Hollywood, you know, I'm a big comic book fan, and, you know, I know the characters, I know the stories, I know the, you know, everything about them, but Hollywood changes subtly a lot of what they do in their movies to allow it to appeal to a much greater audience than just the comic book fans. And wrestlers have to understand that and do the same thing, not just try to appeal to the internet fans. Because at the end of the day, guys, as great, you know, you're only a small percentage of the audience. Do you understand? You know, the internet isn't as over as everybody thinks it is, because if it were, they wouldn't be going on TV and radio and advertising how over the internet is. Do you realize that?
Right.
Using the internet to tell you. And
right.
Secondly, even if I've done this for a living for 27 years. This has been my job. It's the way I feed my family. But my internet experience consists of online banking, email, and I'm a MySpace whore, and I occasionally go on the Facebook thing, and that confuses the hell out of me. But I don't go on any wrestling sites.
No,
so I don't go on any wrestling sites. How many people that are Mr. and Mrs. Walmart or just casual wrestling fans, how many of them go on a wrestling site and are concerned about the mechanics and the nuances and such of wrestling more so than they are just about, wow, that guy is really cool. I get him. I understand him. I relate to him. And I don't like that guy because he did this to him.
Right, right. No, I agree. I agree. But you had brought up that you are a very big comic book fan, and we kind of want to inch away from wrestling for a minute. And it is all over fanboy websites and things like that and forums that Johnny Depp has been pegged to play the Riddler in the next installment of Batman.
Well, don't feed him the rumors.
Oh, fantastic.
How do you feel about that?
I think he'd do an amazing job. He's a great actor.
Do you think he could bring the depth to the character that Ledger did to the Joker? I mean, there were so many throwbacks to the 30s Joker in that movie. Do you think that they would be able to do that again?
Oh, absolutely. I think so. And I think that Depp would be able to bring the character from just a second string joke of a heel to a character that could actually maybe have a little more depth and angst to it.
Yeah, see, I don't want to say I'm a comic book nerd or nut, but I'm more of a supervillain nerd. Like Venom is my absolute favorite. Venom is my absolute favorite, and the way that they screwed him up in Spider-Man 3, I will never forgive them for.
Well, I had spoken to and had a meeting with, before they started production on Spider-Man 3, with, and I forget the actual executive producer, and, you know, the reason they put Venom in was because they were forced to do it. At first, they weren't going to, because Marvel didn't own the rights. They had sold off the rights to them, and they weren't allowed. They were going to create their own Venom movie. It was going to be a separate movie, but then Marvel got the rights back, and then Marvel insisted, you know, pushed that it had to be. They had to put Venom in the movie, so that was why all of a sudden all these extra villains were thrown in. You know, there was a cavalcade of villains instead of just the focus on one.
Right.
Right. I usually bring up the fact that someone did a complete re-edit of that movie and threw it up online, and they completely removed the Sandman, and the film still worked, which is a huge sign against what you've created.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, there are a lot of other considerations, unfortunately, that two great cooks in the kitchen sometimes spoil the soup. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to ask you, because me and my girlfriend take in a convention around here every year, and she was trying to get me to go to the one you attended this year, which was MegaCon in Orlando. What's it like as a guest of one of those big geek-off conventions?
I love going to those things. They're so much fun. I really enjoy them, especially, you know, because not just because I'm the comic book fan. I love artwork, and, you know, the artists are, you know, guys that I really admire because they're so talented, but just watching all the fans walk around and some of them dressed up and all that, it's just, it's cool. It's a great time. It's a really cool environment, and, you know, you gotta kind of almost admire those guys that they, you know, like when you show up in the afternoon and these people have driven there in these outfits and get out of the car and are walking across the parking lot and have a set of stones to be, you know, going to the gas station to get gas dressed as Jabba the Hutt or something. It's pretty hardcore.
Now, you're a comic book fan.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of Warhammer 40K?
Oh, no.
You know, I don't. I would be. Even back in the day, you know, when I was younger, I played Dungeons & Dragons before there was, you know, the internet and video games and all that. We actually used a thing called our imagination. But that would be like, that'd be like radio compared to TV nowadays. Yeah, I would probably get into it big time, but the thing is that, I can't, and the reason I can't is I would become obsessed with it, and it would be so time consuming, and I would end up letting other things go, like, say, for instance, you know, my relationship with my wife, my kids, you know, jobs, you know, paying bills, things like that, you know, just silly stuff, but nonetheless, you know, it would have a tendency to probably adversely affect my life, so I try to avoid that kind of stuff.
Right.
Now, as a fan, what kind of comic books are you? I mean, what's the favorite for Al Snow?
You know, that it changes depending on the storylines and how well they're written. You know, I get them all every single week, you know. Because I've read all of the literature you're supposed to read, the classic literature and all that stuff, and I ran out of that, and then I started reading, you know, paperback books between, you know, the thriller, the, you know, the Dean Koontz and Stephen King to where I finally, you know, started, you know, reading, then I started reading the fantasy books, and then, but the problem was that they were trilogies, and they just didn't print them fast enough, and I was always on a plane, so I went back into reading the comic books, so.
No.
And I'd say one of my favorite comic books of all time would have to have been Identity Crisis.
I've never even heard of that.
You missed it. Kingdom Come 2 is really fantastic, you know, I'd have to say. But also any of the Grant Morrison run on JLA where he redefined the Batman character was fantastic. Identity Crisis is fantastic too.
Have you had the chance to go out and pick up or see The Watchmen yet?
I read Watchmen quite some time ago, and you know, it was, I loved it. Didn't think that, you know, they needed the comic book within the comic book, but hey, you know, I know what he was trying to do and what he was going for, and it worked within the comic book, but I certainly don't think you'll need that in the movie to still tell the story.
Right. Now, Omega and I host a show on this network on Tuesday nights called Otaku Talk Live, and this past week we did our episode of the top 10 worst villain names ever. And we wanted to ask you for your input, if you could think of any from your long and illustrious comic book experience of if you had any of your own personal worst villain names ever.
Well, I would think that, like, one that comes right to mind is the Spider-Man's villain, the Shocker. Because isn't that a three-fingered move you perform on a woman?
Oh. That's a good one.
Yeah, or Daredevil's arch nemesis, Stilt Man. I mean, come on. His whole powers were that he could, you know, you have extendable legs, big tails.
Spider-Man's villain,
Big Wheel. He rode around the I had a Big Wheel when I was a kid, for Christ's sake.
Oh.
Probably the lamest superhero that they constantly fight to bring back is Aquaman.
Oh, God.
I mean, there's so many things that they could, if they did it right, that they could do to put Aquaman over that they never really get into and explore. But instead all they do is have him talk to fish and make a sandwich or two at the Hall of Justice for everybody else, because otherwise he's pretty useless.
Okay, did you steal that from a comedian? Because I've heard that line before.
What's that?
I've heard the line of making Aquaman making sandwiches at the Hall of Justice before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I just couldn't imagine him doing much else, because, you know, it's like, well, Batman, you're a strategist. Superman, you've got, you know, amazing powers. Wonder Woman, you're hot. You know, you got big boobs. Aquaman, you talk to fish and you swim. Okay, could you go make a sandwich?
Now, before we let you go, because we've had you on here for an hour, and we really appreciate your time. It is very, very much appreciated. Thank you for taking time out of your night to do this with us. Of course, it is WrestleMania time, and with WrestleMania comes the Hall of Fame inductions. And you have left your own indelible mark on wrestling with Head and all the crazy gimmicks you've done, and your knowledge that you have expounded tonight, and I'm only assuming elsewhere. You know, it seems that every year the WWE puts in a class into the Hall of Fame, and there's always a few people missing out of it. I mean, the two big ones for me will always be Macho Man Randy Savage and Ravishing Recruit. I'm trying to figure out why they aren't in yet. And I was just wondering, if you, Al Snow, had the opportunity with the two last inductions into the Hall of Fame for this year, who would you put in there?
Oh, God. Who knows? I mean, that's a very controversial and tough decision to make. I mean, even the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a tough decision to make, you know. How many times have you heard people go, God, they put that band in at all? Or they put that band in before they put in this other band or this other singer? You know, that's a tough one to really make. I mean, I agree with you, like, Ravishing Rick Rude or Randy Savage should definitely be in there. But who's to say? I mean, you know, different guys get over to different degrees with different people. You know, Jake Roberts, I'm sure what his impact and what he's done for the business should be in it. I'm sure a lot of guys should be. I couldn't tell you. I have no idea. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin. If I had to sit down and pick guys to induct into the Hall of Fame, there's so many guys that really, in some form or another, to some degree or another, probably do deserve it. I don't know where you draw the line in the sand each year. You know?
Right. I'm sorry. I just got a email from our boss, the owner of the network, and I wanted to ask you if you're going to be appearing anywhere recently. I mean, do you have any events coming up, or do you have any shows that you're going to be doing in the next few weeks?
Tons of them, actually. This week I'll be in Philadelphia at the old ECW Arena with Chikara in the Trios Tournament. Saturday I'll be holding a seminar in the afternoon and doing a show that night at Tom's River, New Jersey. Sunday I'll be in Maryland doing another different kind of seminar. And then in April, I'll be going to Mick's homeland down under in the middle of April down to Australia and New Zealand, which I'm very excited about, to have the opportunity to go down there and work with AWF down there. And I think New Zealand Wrestling, I think. I don't know. I can't keep track of all the different letters anymore. I just, you know, put a W somewhere in it and two other initials, and I'm ready to go. So, and then I'll be going back over May 1st to Liverpool, England, and so I keep very, very busy. I'll be doing another movie called Hell Lake, I believe, in June. And so, you know, I'm training midgets to cage fight to the death here soon, opening up a school for that.
Yes! Yes! You, sir, will have my undying devotion for that one.
Well, I think it's the next big move in entertainment. I mean, even the carnival and circus people knew that small people equal big entertainment. So, you know, just imagine, you know, two midgets entering a cage and one midget leaving. You know, it's big money. So
I'm reminded of
eventually. I think I'm gonna, you know, do celebrity midget cage fighting to the death. You know, we'll have like, you know, Gary Coleman versus Vern Troyer or something like that. You know,
it'd be
great.
We have Vern Troyer versus Hornswoggle.
Webster, you know.
I'm reminded of a line in all of this. Two men enter, one man leave. Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Stark Thunderdome will have to be shorter because it doesn't need to be that tall, so.
Right.
It's not like you're going to climb that one.
Would you mind sticking into the break with us for just a couple of more minutes so we can get out our thanks for you? And we have one more question from all of us. Where exactly is Head right now?
Well, Head's got their own room here at the house, and they're probably right now at the moment watching a replay of Rock of Love. They love that. So.
Right. We had to ask, because Head was such an important fixture for so many years.
And they still are. I mean, you know, Head's an important fixture in everybody's life, you know.
Indeed.
Some people just don't realize as much as I did.
No matter where Al Snow is, we all want a little Head.
Exactly. But if
thank you for me, guys. It's the best thing in the world. My career was, you know, on the downslide until I got a little Head. And, you know, it's been nothing but on the upswing ever since. So.
Right. We would like to thank you, sir. I know I would personally like to thank you. I'm sure Omega and Nick would as well. If you would stick with us for just a minute through the break, we'll get you right out of here. Thank you for the time that you've spent with us tonight. You know, an hour was certainly fantastic. And we want to extend the invitation to you that whenever you want to come back, just, you know, you've got an open pass, an open invitation. Anytime you want to come on, time is yours, sir.
Well, thank you very much. I'll hold on to the break, and then we'll do the business you need to do.
Thank you, sir. You're listening to WTR right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these messages.
Night in sports entertainment comes to an end, WrestleTalk Radio will be there to catch you up on all the unthinkable.
X-Factor, we have a new champion! We have a new champion! Wait a minute! No! What now? Tony Reigns! Triple H! Has turned his back on X-Pac!
stopping it. Stopping it right now. That's it.
Attention Wild Talk Radio Network fans, are you looking for a show that is wholesome, a show that is family-oriented and kids-friendly, and a show that is filled with politically correct humor? Then tune in to the WTR Network every Saturday night at midnight Eastern for all things G-rated.
Hold on. Fuck that politically correct bullshit. Tune in Saturday nights for No Limits Extreme Conversation, covering everything from, well, just about anything you can possibly imagine. If you can think it, it will be talked about and more live Saturday nights on Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, live midnight Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you an avid tabletop gamer who doesn't have the time to sit and customize all the finer details in your miniatures? Then check out Burning River Model Works for everything you need to complete your tabletop miniature sets. Burning River Model Works specializes in custom bases, painting, and also miniature restoration service for all of your tabletop strategy games. Pricing varies depending on difficulty, along with the amount of time spent on the model or base. Shipping, as always, will be insured and sent to you via priority mail. For complete details, contact Drew by email at brmworks@yahoo.com or by telephone at 330-304-2025. Burning River Model Works. Custom miniature work for the avid tabletop strategy player.
King of Trios 2009, the biggest pro wrestling tournament of the year, is coming to South Philadelphia and ECW Arena. Starting Friday night, March 27th, teaming together for the first time, former WWE superstar Al Snow and the star of WCW Glacier, plus stars from Chikara, Ring of Honor, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and all the other top independents. Don't miss King of Trios 2009 when 48 pro wrestlers from around the globe come together for one weekend only. Tickets on sale at ChikaraPro.com.
The Wild Talk Radio Network brings you a great enhancement for your internet browsing experience, the WTR Network Internet Toolbar. It's free, it's handy, it's very useful. The built-in toolbar incorporates the world's biggest default search engine, Google, so you can be sure your searches turn up the results you would expect. Not a Google fan? Switch your search engines to ExactSeek. Our toolbar is loaded with features and extras. A weather tracker, built-in radio, lots of gadgets with games and info.
and it's fully customizable. The WTR toolbar has no spyware, no malware, won't automatically reset your homepage or personal settings. In addition, we have incorporated a scrolling ticker for alerts and updates. Plus, you can contact and reply to messages and updates through the message center. Add any RSS feed you want as well. The toolbar also has a built-in pop-up blocker that is more than just on or off. Get the WTR toolbar today. It's 100% free and a great enhancement to your web browsing experience.
Sunday nights, Wild Talk Radio takes the front seat in the screening room. Hi, I'm Greg, and along with my co-host Max, we'll be taking a critical look at everything in the entertainment media. Movies, TV shows, video games. We'll cover it all. So come join us every Sunday night at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. And don't miss out on the screening room on Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the one and only Joe Brigette of the Wrestling Report, which airs Saturday nights, 8 Eastern, right here in the Wild Talk Radio Network. You got tools in your religion, all designed to keep you safe. But when...
And welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I had to throw that song in there because that was, if you know, Al Snow's original theme music in ECW when he first started doing the head gimmick. But welcome
Prodigy
back.
Prodigy send me to outer space?
Breathe. Prodigy Breathe.
Oh, yes, sorry.
I actually, it's off of the Fat of the Land album. I actually have that album. But I want to thank Al Snow again for joining us tonight. And Omega, you really need to listen to that interview again and figure out the little Jedi mind trick he used on me to get him to
no
agree with
kidding.
Him that quick.
Damn. I mean, you gotta go to school for that or something. I don't know how he managed that one.
These are not the droids you seek.
See, it's easy to change someone's mind when you've got two of your own, okay?
Right. But I can't believe, I'm sitting there and I'm listening to him and I'm like, he makes a valid point. I never thought of it that way. I have to agree with him.
Hey, I've just found out that he's doing a meet and greet in Sydney for an hour and a half. I'm going to rock up to that meet and greet, and I'm going to spend the next hour and a half getting instructions on him how to do that.
Yeah, see,
seriously.
Yeah, he just decided that what convention I'm going to next year, because now I have to see him if he comes down again.
Yeah, I mean, he does stuff around the Ohio area, and I never get a chance to make it out there, and I would like to. I would really like to, because he sounds like an awesome guy to meet, and just, like, I would love to just pick his brain about the wrestling business. You know what I mean? For you and me, Omega, we'd love to sit there and pick Stan Lee's brain about the comic book industry. And the evolution of the comic book industry, but for wrestling, there's like a select list of people that I would just love if I had the opportunity to sit there and pick their brain about it. And soak up that wisdom like a sponge. But, enough about the interview. Of course, it will be up on the podcast later. You can hear it in its entirety. For those of you that missed it, shame on you. Because I'm sure our fantastic owner of the Wild Talk Radio Network will be working his ass off to get us another one with somebody else very soon.
That wasn't threatening or intimidating at all.
Nope. That was demanding. But... fair enough, Rock. Fair enough. But anyway, let's talk about something real quick that's going to be coming out Tuesday for your video game system, and that is the Legends of WrestleMania game put out by THQ. Now, the roster on it is somewhat fantastic. Because you can go through with it and, you know, have fantastic matches with some of your favorite wrestling characters that, you know, never got the opportunity to wrestle one another. Andre and the Big Show, Hogan and Cena, so on and so forth. And here's the roster for it. Andre the Giant, Animal, Arn Anderson, Bam Bam Bigelow, Big Boss Man, Big John Studd, Bobby Heenan, Bret Hart, British Bulldog, Brutus Beefcake, Dusty Rhodes, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Hawk, Honky Tonk Man, The Immortal Hulk Hogan, Triple H, Jake the Snake Roberts, Jim Neidhart, Jimmy Hart, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, Junkyard Dog, Kamala, King Kong Bundy, Coco Beware, Michael Hayes, Mr. Fuji, Mr. Perfect, Nikolai Volkoff, Paul Bearer, Ravishing Rick Rude, Ric Flair, Rowdy Rowdy Piper, Sergeant Slaughter, Heartbreak Kid, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Ted DiBiase, The Iron Sheik, The Rock, Ultimate Warrior, Undertaker, and Yokozuna. And that's just the ones that come on the game. Now, I was informed earlier today that if you have SmackDown vs. Raw 2009, you can input any character from that game into Legends of WrestleMania. Is that not true?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I believe they import as create a legend characters. I'd have to be informed on that. It's like downloadable content in video games these days. You know, it goes to your heart. It goes to the game's hard drive and plugs itself right into the game, which I thought was a fantastic little selling point.
Right.
Now, it's got some interesting game modes I like. You can relive the history, which, okay, you're playing the winner of a legendary match like Hogan versus Andre.
Or you can
rewrite, which you get to play the loser, and go back through history the way it would have been if things had ended up differently. And then you have redefine, which is more like it's more like a traditional mode.
Well, don't they have the Legend Killer mode in it?
Yeah.
I'm not entirely...
Randy Orton.
Yeah, it's 7 tiers, 10 legends on each. It's basically like, in other games it would be like a gauntlet mode or an endurance mode.
Where you have
to face all these wrestlers in a row with increasing difficulty. Which is how you unlock all your parts and attributes for the create a wrestler mode.
Now, I mean,
so that's a nice thing, you know. Like someone mentioned in the chat. No, Owen Hart is not in the game, but you will probably be able to recreate him in the character mode. That's usually what they do with those modes: is allow you to refill the roster with older stars or anyone that they didn't have time to include,
or anybody's wife wouldn't allow them to include.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
Owen.
I've made a few naughty ones in some of these.
Yeah, it's It's Owen's wife that is keeping him out of the WWE Hall of Fame and any subsequent games.
Yeah, that's why there's no DVD, there's no real mention of him. His wife is just on a complete tirade. She still blames the WWE, and, you know, I can understand why.
Well, that's a topic for a different show. It really is. It's a topic for a different time. But
yeah, when we haven't already burned most of the show away.
Right. But I'm really looking forward to this game for one reason and one reason only.
Rick Rude.
Rick Rude. Because you can sit there and I'm assuming that there is a kind of like a career mode with it.
It hasn't been announced, but that's usually what they do. Most games have a career mode with them.
So I'm assuming, I can finally take Ravishing Rick Rude and do the one thing that Vince would never ever do, and that's win the title at Mania with him.
Most likely, yes.
And I'm looking at pictures from the game, and it's the old school ring setup with the red, white, and blue ropes and the blue mat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're going to go as classic as possible with this. I mean, my guess would be you'd even see the blue bar steel cage in this one.
That would be awesome. I wish they'd bring that back, by the way. Just once.
Yeah. Yeah, the games are nice like that. They're one of the games, I think it was 2008 for the PlayStation 2. You can use the old school cage, which is awesome to see again.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it SmackDown versus Raw?
Yeah.
I always have to catch that.
Yeah, I miss that cage. It looks so much more serious than, you know, flexing, you know, the
chain link fence.
The chain link does, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, the mat is harder than that.
Exactly. But the thing about that chain link fence, though, is that the chain link fence has itty litty little barbs on it. All over it. Little points from where the mold was, you know, where the fence was molded.
Right.
And those things will shred you to bits.
Mm. Yeah, the other thing is the blue bar cage is more like a ladder. I mean, that's pretty easy to climb.
And Rock
is
saying,
struggle now.
Rock is saying there's a bunch of different arenas, and yes, the blue bar cage is in Legends of WrestleMania.
Now, they include different arenas all the time. I'm wondering how much of that is. Because, you know, like the outdoor arena in WrestleMania 9 is going
to
be there.
It has to be.
Yeah, I would imagine they would be based on WrestleManias of the past.
Right. I'm going to go rent this Tuesday. Because I want to play this. And so far, I'm only seeing it on PlayStation and Xbox. I'm wondering if they're going to release it on PC.
There's kind of a movement to start releasing games on PC again. Unfortunately, the consoles are getting so powerful, it's kind of hard for PC to keep up.
Ooh. I disagree on that one.
Well, see, here's the thing. PC used to have the advantage of being the only place where you could update and edit and modify the games, and that's not true anymore when you've got downloadable content. You know, there's like games like Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe where they're trying to develop other characters that they didn't have time to include before. You know, in a couple months from now, you might be able to download, say, Aquaman, or Doomsday, or, you know, those or Kung Lao, those characters that got left out. And that's how console games are starting to work, which takes a huge, huge advantage away from the PC brand.
I was actually I thought you were talking about the actual power of the hardware, and I was going, Xbox, I know exactly what type of graphics card I'm getting in there, yet I know if I'm a skilled power user, I can put 3 graphics cards in a computer now. You set it up in SLI,
yeah.
Put an X2s in.
Well,
bullshit, you're going to get a console coming up with more power than that. But
okay, how about this? A console is coming out that has equal power to your normal PC without spending a few thousand dollars on upgrades and modifications.
Well, it all depends. It depends where you shop, in my opinion. Because obviously, if you're going to go to Harvey Norman, which is like, it's hard for me to put it into terms of the States, but like a very flashy retail, Circuit City, probably. Whereas I know if I go out to my dodgy computer store, where Xbox here is costing, an Xbox 360 is costing about $500, if I blow $500 over at my dodgy computer store, I know whatever I'm gonna get is gonna cream the crap out of the Xbox.
L, it depends, and you're getting to the point now with consoles that they're becoming their own mini computer, because you can update them and upgrade them and give them a bigger hard drive and better graphics cards all the time, and it is cheaper to do so than to a PC. I mean, it's getting to that point. So,
what are you talking about? A 2.5-inch hard drive always will cost more than a 3.5-inch.
But if I buy a hard drive for my Xbox 360, and like I did when I had my PS2, I bought a new hard drive for it. It was $120. Okay.
Okay. What size?
Oh my God! What was it? I think I added 100 megabytes or something to it. I mean, it was a fairly decent hard drive.
100 gigabytes.
For megabytes. 100 megabytes.
Megabytes.
Yeah, megabytes. For a PS2?
Let me put you this way.
For a PS2, Nick?
A PS2 hard drive is pretty tiny.
Yeah, for a PS2.
Are they 1.8 inch?
I don't know the measurements, but I bought the hard drive, you know, to put it in, because it was a bigger hard drive and it, you know, processed the games better. I didn't put it in, I had my buddy put it in. But when I bought it, it was like $120 out the door. For my computer, I had to buy a new hard drive for my laptop. $400. For a new hard drive on my laptop. It is cheaper to upgrade my console than it is my computer.
How do I say this to you? You didn't put a 100 megabyte hard drive in your laptop. You probably put, and I'm hoping for your sake, if you spent $400 on upgrading your laptop hard drive, you would have gotten at least a 500 gig. I'm saying this to you as a friend and a guy who used to work.
I'm not talking about 100. I have a 200 gigabyte hard drive in my laptop, but it was $400 to upgrade my hard drive in my laptop, as opposed to putting 100 megabyte.
But even still, look at it at a ratio, 100 megabytes to a 200 gigabyte. A gigabyte is,
okay,
100
okay.
megabytes
just,
is 0.1 of a gigabyte.
Okay. We just lost Bug. Nick, I think he gets the idea.
Sorry, as somebody who used to work in the IT industry, it shits me when people invent things and go off half-cocked saying that, you know, this is cheaper because they're getting a lower product. Okay. Let's talk wrestling while Spud's away.
It's a wrestling show. Let's not get into IT. Let's get off of IT.
Okay, let's get away from computers and let's talk more right. about the internet.
Yeah.
Okay, so this week in wrestling.
Yeah, so back to this midget cage fighting thing.
I like it a lot.
Now see, if that's what Michael Vick got into, he'd be a pioneer instead of a felon.
Oh, did I tell you guys the good news on a complete tangent? You guys remember me mentioning Marcus Einfeld a while back?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, buddy, don't drop the soap for the next 2 years.
What the fuck are you talking about?
There you go. Welcome back.
Do you remember me mentioning Judge Marcus Einfeld a while back on the show?
I don't.
No. Pretentious fuck whose family used to walk around saying they could buy and sell me, all sorts of bullshit like that. He wouldn't pay a $77 fine for speeding. Mm-hmm. And he decides that he's better than that. So he starts creating fraudulent documents saying somebody who was dead and lived overseas was driving his car. And he's just gotten 2 years without the possibility of parole. So nice. I'm taking this opportunity to...
Did we lose Nick?
I don't think anyone's allowed to go on a rant anymore tonight.
I would assume not. And I wasn't trying to go on a rant. I was trying to make the point that upgraded console.
Let's not get back into it.
But, you know, and I'm going to go have to rent this game on Tuesday. I have to. I will rent it before I buy it, and I can pretty much assure that I'm going to buy it. But
when did you lose me?
After you finished your rant.
I was still going.
Well,
I was going while I dropped out.
You're finished.
Just let me give a quick pop to Batista. He's going to be on an Australian TV series called Neighbours.
Right on. Anyway.
Nobody's going to watch.
Anyway, let's,
Are we still in the video game or are we on to wrestling?
No, we're back on the wrestling, but, you know, we brought up the Legends of Wrestling video game to get into the upcoming WrestleMania storylines. Because the Big Show and Vicky Guerrero and Edge and John Cena, and I knew they were gonna do it.
Yeah.
It's now a triple threat match for the title at Mania. Mm. Why they have to do that? I have no idea.
You know, it's kind of a nice thought when they're running out of ideas for Cena, so they had to stick him into a triple threat.
Right.
But really, it's more about getting Big Show onto the card and getting him into a main match. Which I understand, but at the same time, you know, I really don't care.
Something I've got to say to you boys is I just really, really didn't get it. 2 weeks ago on SmackDown, when they were doing the contract signing, and Cena came out and said he was in love with Vicky Guerrero, and they were doing the whole thing with Big Show being in love with Vicky Guerrero.
I was going,
I don't understand the appeal. This chick must toss one hell of a salad.
My other thought was,
man, I've been watching too much TNA, because I can tell you if this line was happening in TNA, they'd be doing a Vicky on a pole match.
Oh, God. See, I actually liked that segment. It was on Raw. It just started on SmackDown. I really liked that segment with Cena.
It didn't make any sense. I mean, why?
The whole point?
Where's the attraction?
Dude.
She doesn't have personality. She doesn't have looks.
Dude. Did you even stick through the whole segment?
Most of it, yes. I understand how it happened, and he said, I'm not interested, but I don't understand why Big Show is attracted to her. Unless they're going to end it up with saying that they were both trying to manipulate her, which still doesn't work. I mean, they're pretty much looping this segment over and over again. Where it starts off with Edge and Big Show, and then Cena comes in, rants, and says, I'm not interested in Vicky. They've done it about 3 times now.
Well, Cena, the whole point of Cena doing that was to parody what Edge has been doing for the last year, which is to play on Vicky's emotions and get title shots just because he says that kind of thing. Which I thought was actually a very nice touch to the segment. It was a little bit. It wasn't so forced down your throat like everything else was. About and for Cena to have anything with a subtle meaning behind it like that, that is what shocks me. But I thought the segment worked. I mean, because it's going into it before it was almost well. These two guys are still kind of on the same page, even if they don't like each other, so this is going to be a one-sided triple threat. I like that they've added in this little quirk. What I don't like is Vicky going, oh, well, whoever wins the title wins me. You know, if I'm John Cena, I'm throwing the match.
Right.
But it gets on my nerves because it's the exact same thing that the Colons have going on with John Morrison and The Miz. You know, tossing the Bella Twins back and forth like Lita on a Sunday night.
Nice, dude, nice. Anything for the Lita plug?
No, no, nothing. I'm not plugging Lena for anything.
Oh, you'd plug that. We all know you would.
Not without a lead condom.
I actually have an interesting theory. I actually thought it was interesting on the Colognes versus Miz and Morrison. Did you notice they've split the Beltrans? Apparently they're planning on spit roasting them now. But I think it's interesting they've split the Beltrans and they're going to unify the titles.
Yeah, that's the big thing. We're actually, you know, and which is something that they should have been doing a long time ago since they don't do anything with the SmackDown belts, and any belts that Miz and Morrison has ends up on every show anyway.
True.
Are you looking at
WWE trying to build their own tag team division?
Well, they did reunite the belts.
I'm not sure if they're trying to rebuild it. They're definitely trying to minimize it by making only one set of tag titles, which means only one division of tag teams needed.
Well, you look at the tag division as a whole, and there's really, I mean, there's not much left of it anyway, so it only makes sense to finally reunite the tag divisions.
Right.
Oh my god, I'm sorry, I'm dying.
I think it's going to make stronger shows, or at least stronger matches, by having the belts unified. I really think it will improve it. And I reckon it's going to make a match that will be definitely up there at Mania. The only problem is, we've seen Miz and Morrison versus the Clone so many fucking times. I mean, every SmackDown, they're bloody doing a match.
There's no tag team division. There's no tag team division.
And even some of the tag teams that they've got have got problems. I mean, one half of Crime Time is still in the doghouse because he can't improve as a wrestler.
I mean,
as I said, this is one of the reasons I watch TNA, because they still have a strong tag team division. And as a wrestler, and I like to see that.
Sure, they have a fantastic tag team division, but they don't have much of anything else.
Well, I think Alistair did something to you tonight. Still.
You're agreeing with people.
Yeah,
I never said
that he was close enough to spike whatever you're drinking.
I never said TNA didn't have a fantastic tag team division. They do.
Okay. Yeah, you didn't get my head off.
But they don't have anything else.
Here's the thing. The side divisions are great. The tag division is good. The women's division is light years ahead of the WWE's. And even though they've diminished it, the X division, those matches are still pretty solid. It's the main meat of the show. I mean, okay, you've got a very nice baked potato. You've got some very, you know, you've got a nice sauce on your steak, but the steak is moldy and rotten.
Right.
Dude, when you're fast forwarding the shit that comes up and you only see, it's like you just go, okay, I'm eating vegetarian tonight. It's good once in a while.
Yeah, but you can't eat vegetarian every night. Sometimes you just want a fucking steak.
Amen to that. You're talking to the Aussie. At the RSL, the minimum size you can get is a half kilo steak.
Some nights, dude, you just want a fucking steak. So, I mean, you can sit there and talk about how great the side dishes are.
Why did we end up on food?
That would be my fault for the analogy.
It was Omega's analogy.
Which I thought it was good until you actually started bringing up actual steaks. What's wrong with you?
Aussies like their steaks. We're barbecue country.
don't add logic into this.
You're right. Who am I to add logic into the wrestling industry? Or at least the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, into this show.
By the way, I have a new theory with regards to JBL. This is going off your idea, Omega, with the Grand Slam.
Which I called.
They have another mid-card belt. He might go for the ECW Championship at Mania.
I don't see that happening. Last I checked, it was supposed to be Christian and Jack Swagger for the belt, which probably
or
the first Jerker match
title.
Tonight.
MVP's title. Title versus title.
I'm not sure if they're even promoting anything historical, because they haven't mentioned it. Okay, yeah. Thank you for correcting me, Rock. Okay. Christian's in Money in the Bank. Screw that. Right now, it's Ray versus JBL at Mania. So what he's supposed to do that's so damn historic, I don't know. Even if it's supposed to be historic, because, you know, like I said, it was supposed to be the Grand Slam Championship. He's accomplished that now. He didn't do it at Mania like I thought, so I don't know what else is left.
I know this is on a complete tangent, but if there is no ECW title match yet, unless they're going to let Dreamer go, I'd put the title on him at Mania.
I think the idea is still to do it at the Extreme Rules or whatever the hell they name. They renamed that show like 3 times. I think it's still Extreme Rules as of this date. And it's so close to that little retirement cutoff that I'm thinking it's going to be one of those, okay, last chance kind of shows. You're going to go for the ECW belt tonight. Just to play it up for as long as possible.
They've been hinting that they're going to do something with Dreamer. I haven't figured out what it is exactly, because I noticed that when they were talking about the dungeon, they would mention Natalia Neidhart, and they said, oh, she is one of the 2 girls to come through that school. And they mentioned the other one was Dreamer's wife, Beulah McGillicuddy.
Oh, I thought the other one was Teddy Hart.
Teddy Hart is a fucking pain in the ass. He lives with his foot in his mouth, but
okay.
He's a decent wrestler.
Somewhere out there, Tim is laughing at that one, okay?
You're just... I'm just shocked that we actually have to refer to him as the boss now.
See, that's the one thing I didn't get to
mention. You're sucking
up
to the boss. Interesting, Omega.
See, that's the one thing I didn't get to mention while Al was on. In doing research for that little interview, I found out he's actually married to the first female WWE Hardcore Champion at the moment. I know. I thought that was ironic somehow.
I think that might turn to some dark and strange place that Spug is best to handle. Okay. So where were we at in the world of wrestling?
We tried to go off on Mania, and then we went on tangents, and then I started talking about people's wives.
Right.
I
believe the next step in this conversation is porn.
I doubt it.
It's the internet. Everything leads to porn eventually.
The internet is for porn.
Okay.
What's that, Cage Monster?
Okay. Okay, I'll bring this up just because I get a laugh out of it. Speaking TNA, and since we mentioned Celebrity Championship Wrestling, it looks like Lockdown is going to feature Eric Young versus Danny Bonaduce.
What?
Why?
They've already done on Danny Bonaduce's, I think it's an XM satellite show. It's a radio show that he hosts. They've got footage from an event where Eric Young was... Okay, this is where research pays off. This is WYFP in Philadelphia. Danny Bonaduce's hosting a show. Eric Young comes on as a guest, starts trash-talking each other. Eric Young smacks him in the mouth a couple times. They start brawling it out. And apparently TNA had cameras there. there's a, another camera shot from the radio station took, and they're going to go with this up until lockdown. They're actually going to put Danny Bonaduce into a professional wrestling match.
Nice.
Can you see where things are kind of unraveling for TNA right now? And the sad thing is, they keep setting the record for their ratings. Like a 1.27 and a 1.3 and a 1.34. So despite everything they're doing wrong, they are gaining audience, which is frightening.
I think this might come down to what Al Snow said earlier tonight. You remember how he was going on and saying it's not necessarily the best product, it's what's getting the butts in the seats. And that's why I threw the John Cena reference out there. Because we, as the Internet Wrestling Collective, on the Internet Wrestling Community as a collective, can't fucking stand Cena. How many times have we said it, but he gets the butts in the seats. So, after all, is he actually good for the wrestling industry? Because without getting the butts in the seats and they're not selling tickets, we wouldn't have any wrestling to watch.
It is true.
But, see, I know I've got to do, I can't do the shows I necessarily want in musical theater, in puppet shows. I've got to cater what the audience wants, otherwise I'm going to go broke.
Right. Yeah. So,
by the way,
as much
TK
as much
lead, saying Lita is hot, dude. Dangerous territory.
Oh, Lita's hot. It's just radioactive.
Right. Anyway.
I have to quickly explain what spit roasting is to Jersey.
Do we really have to?
No, we don't.
No.
Google it, Jersey.
No.
All right. Before we get out of here tonight, because we're up against it, there's a few people I have to thank. I have to thank Rock for getting Al Snow on for us tonight. Rock put that together and got that for us, so thank you, sir, for that interview. I have to thank Midnight Man, longtime listener of the show, sent Tim some feedback saying he really enjoyed the interview. And so a special hello to Midnight Man, and thank you for listening in. Also, if you are in the area of Philadelphia next weekend, go check out Shakira Pro King of Trios at the old ECW Arena. Al Snow will be there. So I remember to check out all.
Sorry.
Remember to check out all the other fantastic programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network. There's something at least every day. I mean, you know, there's at least a show every day.
Yeah, there's always something to tune into here.
Yeah, check out the archives. Hit the forums. WTRdesigns.tk, I believe, is the website if you want. If you want web design, there's all kinds of stuff going on with the network. So, you know, continue to tune in, and we greatly appreciate your patronage. WTRProductions.tk for your website design. We greatly appreciate your patronage here. We are not here next week for WTR, but Saturday, April 4th. Saturday, April 4th, we will be here at 10 p.m. for a special pre-WrestleMania edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, as we, you know, preview WrestleMania, and then immediately following WrestleMania on Sunday night, we'll be here to break it all down in the granddaddy of them all, the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania. For Nick and Omega, I'm the Spud Guy. Catch you next time, everybody. Have a good week.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.